Today is the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. The scripture lessons are from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through chapter 4, verse 5. And the Gospel of Luke, according chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Today's message is titled, Become Convinced. Hear the word of God from 2 Timothy, beginning in chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn away their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Here ends the lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, 18th chapter, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And he will not bring about justice for his chosen, and will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Jerome's prayer from the 4th century, let us pray. Lord, Thou hast given us Thy Word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that Word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We began our time of worship together singing Luther's hymn, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. When printed about 480 years ago in the year 1542, the hymn had a curious subtitle, a children's hymn to be sung against the two archenemies of Christ and his church, the Pope and Turk. The subtitle reflects the reality of conflicts present at that time. War was raging on and off between the Holy Roman Empire, which included those of the Reformation and the princes of that land, and the Turkish Ottoman Empire, meaning Muslims. There was a series of battles throughout the 1500s. In the year 1541, two more battles took place and caused Luther to pen this hymn. In August at Budapest, the Holy Roman Empire under Charles V, the Holy Roman Emperor, it was defeated and the fleet was mostly destroyed. In October that same year, near Algiers, which is the chief seaport of Algeria, that's where the fleet was defeated. Centuries later, this area is known as the Barbary Coast. And it's included in that marine hymn in these words, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. Tripoli, Algiers, all that is a part of the Barbary Coast. Luther wrote the hymn there in 1542 to encourage the people. Originally, the second line of the first verse was, refrain the murderous Pope and Turk. But those words were later revised to curb those who by deceit or sword. So that the enemies of the church, all the enemies of the church, would be included. The hymn is in a threefold Trinitarian format. First verse appeals to God the Father. Second verse points to the overarching authority of Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords. The third verse appeals to the Holy Spirit for the church as for the people of God to work together when encountering opposition. Ultimately, no matter what may come, trusting the Holy Spirit to raise us up from the dead and give us eternal life. The hymn concludes. Time has passed. Empires have come and gone across the lands and oceans. Still, the forces that oppose the church still seek to wreak havoc and destruction on the people of faith. As these things come, as the church is reminded by Luther's words in the hymn, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. As these things come, turn to the Lord, turn to the Holy Scriptures, for in the Holy Scriptures, that Holy Word, you will meet the living God. Find comfort, strength, peace, along with hope and courage. For Christ Jesus is Lord of Lords, winning the victory over death, and through faith, by grace, on that last day, will rise. Yes, will rise on that great day of resurrection. These things will come. And when they come, we're seeing them even now. We're seeing as peaceful pro-life protesters are swatted by FBI raiding teams, terrifying their children, their families, while those who caused billions, yes, billions of dollars of destruction in violent riots, they're going about free from fear of these SWAT raids. 11 more pro-life activists are charged, while zero people have been charged with those firebombings of pro-life pregnancy centers and Catholic churches, which is actual terrorism. Sebastian Gorka comments, Why does the FBI need M4s, ballistic shields, and multiple mags to arrest a pro-life father in front of his seven children? On a misdemeanor charge that was dismissed by a local court based on an alleged event that occurred over a year ago? These things have arrived. These things have arrived as banks cancel accounts based on Christian faith. They canceled the account of the National Committee for Religious Freedom. Yes, J.P. Morgan and Chase and Company did this. Evangelist Nick Vujicic, I don't pronounce his last name very well, but it's spelled V-U-J-I-C-I-C. Nick Vujicic, he's Australian. Born with tetra-amelia syndrome, which means the absence of arms and legs. This evangelist, you should hear him speak. Truly amazing testimony for Christ. But yet his account was canceled for being true life, too pro-life. Nick, born without arms or legs, but lives a full life married and with children. These things are happening as ESG scores are being pushed by big investment management companies using other people's pension funds to push their ESG ideology. For instance, this is BlackRock, Vanguard, and Fidelity are among these pushing ESG scores, and it's causing Christian faith to be suppressed in the marketplace. In such times, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word, cries from our hearts. Your word, God's word, not my word, God's word. Not the word of Aristotle or Plato or the words of Confucius, Hume, Kant, Nietzsche, or Rousseau. Keep us steadfast in your word. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. What this means is the word of God is of different order than man's words, man's thinking, man's wisdom put to paper. God's word must be fundamentally different to stand with power, to withstand the things of this life, and power to carry us on into eternal life. It is written in the sacred scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Continue. The English word continue comes from the Greek word, which is in present imperative active tense. It's a command that is expected to be followed not one time, but as ongoing practice. Do this. Do this. As Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. It means abide, dwell, remain, continue. Continue in what you have learned. Timothy had learned the facts of Jesus Christ from Paul, crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness of sins. And in these things you have learned, abide in them, continue in them, which also means do not change them. Continue in them as you learned them. Have become convinced of. It means the sum total all shown to Timothy, the sum total all taught to Timothy has now become established in Timothy as the truth, and Timothy believes. The Greek word translated as convinced is used only here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. And it means to make trustworthy, hence to establish. And this verb is related to an adjective that means trustworthy, faithful, believing. And that word is derived from a verb which means to persuade, to have confidence. And guess what the root noun is of all of this? The root noun is faith. Faith is the root noun. Faithfulness, faith. And it's always meant as a gift from God. And never can be produced inside ourselves. Faith. Faith that has been embirthed by the Lord in you. That's what this means. So you become convinced of the faith that has been in birth of you, in you of the Lord. It's the Lord's work, the Lord's doing. And it goes on to say, having known from whom you learned. This whom Timothy has learned from his mother, grandmother, and Paul. They all had a hand in the Lord's work in Timothy's life. What Timothy learned from them, faith was birthed in Timothy, and Timothy is convinced of it all, and will continue in it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him the sacred scriptures as an infant babe in their arms. And we can easily infer from that they continued to teach Timothy the sacred scriptures as he grew up. And with such knowledge of the sacred scriptures inside of him from his mother and grandmother, when Paul came traveling by on his missionary journeys, Timothy was prepared to hear Paul's testimony of Jesus is the Christ, the crucified and risen Lord, with the forgiveness of sins in Jesus, all by grace through faith. Timothy was able to put two and two together from the sacred scriptures, hearing what Paul is saying, and what then came to be is making the message of salvation in Christ Jesus in faith real to him. He had learned the scriptures, and he was wise that when he heard the message of salvation, he goes, yes, that's true. Jesus is the Christ. And the faith was birthed in him, and it became real to him. Knowing the sacred scriptures, the word of the Lord God, makes one wise for salvation through faith in Christ. What is written, what was recorded, and what was handed down from Moses and the prophets, it must be of a different order, of a different kind than all other ancient things. Remember, at this time of Paul's letter to Timothy, the sacred scriptures was what we know as the Old Testament. The letters of Paul were circulating, as well the letters of Peter, Jude, and James, perhaps accounts of Matthew and Mark too. Luke's been traveling with Paul, attending to Paul's needs, and maybe investigating, because he says, my dear Theophilus, I investigated these things. And John's account of the gospel would come later, and John's letters would come later. Yet there is this curious summary. Yes, this curious summary of a perspective to have concerning the scriptures. And this perspective is to be in you and me and all of us concerning the scriptures, that clearly places them in a different order of importance than all other writings ever written. And you find it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Scripture, the Greek word is graphē. And this word is found 51 times in the New Testament, and it is always referring to the holy sacred writings. Always. Graphē, the writings, the word of God. God breathed. It's a compound Greek word from two words. The one word means God, and the other means breathed out. God breathed out. Scripture literally is breathed out by God. This emphasizes the divine origin of the revelation recorded in the scriptures, the sacred writings. The scriptures came about by the power and action of God, imbuing them with sacredness and power. It is expressed very well in the King James translation language when you hear a prophet say, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. After Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a fast unto me in the wilderness." And that prophet Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 16. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." The Lord God instructed Moses to write these words down. It is written in Exodus 34, verse 27. "Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words. For in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel." The Lord God instructed Moses to teach the people. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. "These are the commands, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God, directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess." So the "thus saith the Lord," with the commands and decrees and laws of the Lord, were all written down. These things are from the Lord God. From the Lord God, all the way from Genesis 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." All the way to Revelation 22, verse 21. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people. Amen." It's expressed in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. "For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." As from God. These words, as from God, of course. Of course, all of Scripture then would be used in teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training to bring forth righteousness in you. Matthew Henry expresses it this way: "Those who would learn the things of God and be assured of them must know the Holy Scriptures, for they are the divine revelation. The age of children is the age to learn, and those who would get true learning must get it out of the Scriptures." Matthew Henry also writes, "Oh, that we may love our Bibles more and keep closer to them. Then shall we find benefit and at last gain the happiness therein promised by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the main subject of both testaments." And then Paul goes on and warns about what will come. "There is a time coming," Paul writes, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." A recent article in Christianity Today, titled "The Top Five Heresies Among American Evangelicals," and is referring to the survey known as the State of Theology, which comes from a partnership from Ligonier Ministries and Lifeway Research. These are the top five that was listed. Jesus isn't the only way to God. Jesus was created by God. Jesus is not God, just a great teacher. Holy Spirit is not a personal being. And number five, humans aren't sinful by nature. Quoting from the State of Theology website, "U.S. adults increasingly reject the divine authorship of the Bible, relegating it to the same category as other religious writings and purportedly sacred texts. This view makes it easy for individuals to accept biblical teaching that they resonate with while simultaneously rejecting any biblical teaching that is out of step with their own personal views or broader cultural values. In other words, if they like it, yeah, it's the Word of God. If they don't like it, no, I ain't going to pay attention to that. It's out of step. That no longer applies. Nah, I can't mean that. Perhaps you've experienced people who've said those things. Suits their own desires, Paul wrote to Timothy, written in the sacred scriptures, God breathed. Suit their own desires. It means according to their own passionate desires. Yes, passionate is a part of the meaning of that Greek word. To suit what they want to do, what their passions are hungering to do. And they will do anything to do their passionate desires. They will turn aside from truths to myths. And what that meaning of the Greek word translated into English as myth, the Greek word means a fabrication which subverts and replaces what is actually true. So it's a fabrication intentionally given to subvert what is actually true. An example from this past Thursday's Springfield News Sun newspaper. Right there on the front page, it begins, Ohio's court to hear birth certificate gender case. So Thursday, October 13th, right there on the front page. And it's about a man wants to change his birth certificate to female, for he states he was wrongly assigned male at birth. Using that phrase, assigned at birth, it's purposeful to make one think that a doctor chose out of thin air randomly, irrespective of that physical evidence right before the doctor's eyes when marking the birth certificate as male. You'll find, if you read the article, references and personal pronouns changed. All throughout the article, they're changed from the reality and the truth to the fabrication and replacement of truth. They will put aside truth for what their itching ears desire. Paul charges Timothy. To counteract that, Paul charges Timothy, be sober. Keep to clear thinking. To be rational. You find this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But you, really emphasizing that, but you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. The Greek word is be sober. Be sober is the opposite of being intoxicated. And intoxication interferes with clear thinking, as how many people have done the stupidest of things while intoxicated and deeply regret them later. Now, how to keep sober? How to do these things? How to do this? How to keep your head and be clear thinking? Continue in what you have learned from the scriptures and become convinced of. Become convinced. You and I become convinced that the Holy Scriptures are the very Word of God. Be fully convinced of that. The Holy Scriptures are the very Word of God. For in them you will counter the truth and the fullness and reality. God created all things. The fall of humanity into sin. The redeeming mercy and grace freely offered and poured out in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the work of Holy Spirit bringing life in Christ into you that carries into all eternity. Into all eternity. Difference between Billy Graham and Charles Templeton. Billy became convinced the Bible is the very Word of God. Even though he couldn't answer all the different things, he just said, this is the Word of God. Templeton, wanting to know more, he enrolled in Princeton Theological Seminary, where the Bible was deconstructed into nothing and came to a different conclusion. He couldn't come to that. The Bible is the Word of God. he lost it. I've experienced this deconstruction at seminary, and I fought back against it. I fought it back. If the Bible is not the very Word of God, the measure of right and wrong becomes merely one's opinion. And the one opinion that's backed up with the most powerful army behind it becomes the prevailing law for the moment. If the Bible is not the very Word of God, there is no sin. Do as you please. There are no consequences here nor forever. No Savior, no hope, because everything is fatalistic. If there are other ways to God than Jesus the Christ, Jesus' plea, Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. In Gethsemane, his plea, it fell on deaf ears, and his cruel father sent him to a cruel death on the cross for no apparent reason. If it was possible for another way, meaningless would have been the cup Jesus took. If it was possible for the cup to be taken away, another way to God, me, I am fully convinced the Bible is the sacred Word of God, the very Word of God. And I have always tried to do my best to express the sacred Scriptures to you as the Word of God. Try to put any opinions aside, but speak the Word of God. Now, when the Word of God comes to you and you get that itchy feeling under the neck, is it because I'm not preaching the Word of God well, or is the Word of God coming against one of your opinions? Is it your opinion or is it the Word of God? That's something to wrestle with. That's why it's become fully convinced the writings from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 is the very Word of God. Because faith is not about your personal opinion. Faith is what the church teaches. Faith is what God imbirths in you. Faith is what the Holy Scriptures reveal. It's not about opinion. It's about the truth of the Word of God. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent and believe His name, and you shall have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Stay steadfast in that Word. Lord, keep us steadfast in that Word. Imagine what the world would be like if the Ottoman Empire expanded like it wanted to into Europe and was not held back and pushed back. Would there be freedom? Is there freedom where the evidence of the Ottoman Empire still exists? No, there's not freedom, especially for women, no freedom. So being fully convinced, are you getting the sense what this means to faith? Timothy did not have an opinion about faith. The faith awoke in him because his mom and mother had put the Scriptures in him. And the Scriptures make you wise for salvation. And when Paul came by preaching about Jesus is the Christ, the crucified and risen Lord, because Paul preaches Christ crucified, Timothy goes, I understand. That's what the sacred Scriptures have been pointing to all this time. And by God's good grace, the writings of the New Testament are also sacred Scriptures. And for us, as it says in 3:16 of 2 Timothy, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It's written in Titus chapter 1, verse 9. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. This faith This faith, hold to it. This faith spoken by the prophets, hold to it. This faith written down by Moses and the prophets and also the writers of New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all those different letters. It is the faith of the church. And it will give you forgiveness of sins and life everlasting in Jesus Christ. It's the difference between life and death. Are these scriptures the Word of God? Or are these not? Picking and choosing for your opinion is not left to you. It's stay steadfast in the holy word of God. That's the faith of the church. Christ crucified, died for our sins. Christ rose on the third day. And in Christ, as He rose from the dead, we too will rise from the dead. Repent. And believe. This is the faith. It's not opinion. It's the faith as the Word of God reveals. If you haven't become convinced yet in your walk with Christ, become convinced. This is the Word of God. Lord, help us keep steadfast to this Word. Lord, You have spoken by Your prophets. Help us learn and live so we have the righteousness of God as expressed through the Word of God, all by the mercy and grace of Christ. Become convinced. Push back on what the culture is pushing onto you. And know, on that day when it comes, that great day when the light shines more bright than anything else and the glory of Christ cries out, come, you will rise in that great day of resurrection to never die again and live forever with the God who has spoken His loving word to you in the sacred scripture. Become convinced. This is the truth. Amen and amen.